We hear again some of the words, some of the verses from our gospel reading this morning. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I'm well pleased," in the name of Jesus. As we hear this morning about the baptism of our Lord, we, like John, don't understand why Jesus would need to be baptized. It seems backwards to us. He's the sinless one, the righteous one, God in flesh, born of a virgin with no original sin. That's why John says to Jesus, or of Jesus, "He who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." John knows he's the one who needs to be baptized by Jesus, not the other way around. Nevertheless, Jesus tells John in Matthew's account of this same baptism, "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting to fulfill all righteousness." The righteous Son of God enters into the Jordan not to be cleansed, but to be baptized into your sin and to mine, to become the greatest of sinners for you, to be God with you, to bear the sin of the world. This is what Isaiah 53 promises, and Jesus comes and fulfills, where the prophet says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be counted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." St. Paul tells us something similar in the New Testament in his letter to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians. "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." So all that's yours, every bit of your sin, Jesus takes upon himself. And all that is his cleansing blood, his righteousness, he gives to you by means of his baptizing you into his name. For not only did Jesus take upon human flesh at his conception and birth, but at his baptism, he was baptized into the sin of the whole world so that he could then give you his righteousness. As John says of Jesus, "Behold, the Lamb of God who bears the sin of the world." Jesus' baptism is recorded in all four gospel accounts, where we also have all three persons of the Trinity together at our Lord's baptism. Jesus is being baptized into our sin. The heavens are literally torn open. And the Holy Spirit descends in bodily form like a dove upon Jesus. And then the Father speaks audibly, "You are my beloved Son. With you, I'm well pleased." So often we speculate about what God may think about us, or even if he thinks about us at all. We are, after all, sinners who are guilty by both birth and choice of breaking his commandments. And to be sure, we can't even keep the first one. "You shall have no other gods." In fact, we have countless gods. So many other things that we fear, love, and trust besides our Lord. Suffice it to say, we usually speculate that God is always mad at us, as would be fitting for one who's rejected their Creator. We know that we deserve for God to be against us. When we see awful things around us or go through difficulties, trials of different kinds, we're certain that God has finally had enough. He's come to punish us. When we hear his word of law spoken to us, even the law written on our hearts, we know and we feel our guilt. We're not just imperfect or mistake-prone, but we're tainted through and through with this original sin. We're conceived in, we continue to sin, and we don't seek God. We don't look for Him. None of us do. The law for the sinner always accuses, always brings death. The law shows us who we really are. We are sinners. And as sinners, those in our sinful flesh, we always take what God gives and we make it about what we do instead. We flip it. This is the heart of unbelief, turning God's gospel or gift into my work or trying to take it for ourselves. Jesus came, however, not for the righteous, but for the sinner. He came for the unbeliever. He seeks and saves those who are lost. He actually seeks you. He gives and even creates faith where there isn't any. He came not for the healthy, but He did come for the sick. He doesn't come into the world because He sees your potential, because without the salvation He accomplishes, there is no potential. There's nothing to be found. But God, we're told, so loved the world that He gave. He gave His only Son. And He doesn't love you in some abstract way, but He demonstrates His love. He demonstrates it for your certainty on who is this God who made you, cares for you, and provides for you. He's the one who's come. He's come to redeem you, to forgive your sin. Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows His love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And 1 John 4:10, "In this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin." Or Romans 5:6, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." So today, for you, the baptized, the one who has been named by our Lord Himself, claimed as His own, the same word the Father speaks to Jesus is for you. "With you, I'm well pleased." Not because you've done anything yourself or improved enough that He should be pleased with you, or because you're such a committed Christian. In fact, you're here in the early service this morning. Somehow, maybe you think you've balanced the scale so that the good outweighs the bad of your life. Not that you've merited any bit of righteousness on your own, but because the Father is pleased with the Son, and the Son's taken your sin upon Himself, and He's baptized you, so that all that is Jesus's, all that's His, including the pleasure of His Father, is now yours by gift or by grace, received through faith. Because He has fulfilled all righteousness, by His gift or grace to you, you are righteous and clean. Paul says this in our epistle this morning. "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Just as certainly as Jesus actually, historically, really and truly died on a cross, so your old man, your life of flesh, has been crucified with Him, drowned and buried in the waters of your baptism. And just as certainly as He has risen, conquering sin, death, and the devil, so your new man, your life of faith, lives in absolute forgiveness, righteousness. The Father is well pleased with the Son, and you belong to the Son. Therefore, the Father is well pleased with you. You are certainly His own, and he has named you. So the hymn that we read this morning, or that we sang this morning, 406, the last verse says this: all that the mortal eye beholds is water as we pour it. Before the eye of faith unfolds the power of Jesus' merit. For here it sees the crimson flood to all our ills bring healing. The wonders of his precious blood, the love of God revealing, assuring his own pardon of you. In the name of Jesus, amen.